your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Monday, May 17th edition of Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is a daily podcast where we talk about all things Florida Panthers. I'm Armando Velez from PantherParkway.com. You can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. You can follow the show account on Twitter as well. At LO underscore FLA Panthers. You could also follow the national show, Locked On NHL, anywhere you listen to podcasts, and their Twitter page at Locked On NHL Pods. And don't forget the Cross Check NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark. And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCK15. To get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. So as promised for these episodes during the postseason edition of Locked On Panthers, I'm going to try my absolute best for you, the listener, to bring guests every single day or almost every single day on the show. And my first guest after game one is Alex Baumgartner from the Five Reasons Sports Network. How are you, Alex?
Like I was last time I was on the show. Could be better with the Panthers win, but we went on a little bit of a run after I was on the last episode. I think we won like six straight after that series. So we did pretty good last time. Obviously, we want that to happen again. So I'd say optimistic.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. And, you know, let's just get the obvious out there that game two is a must win before we get there, let's talk about the crowd, how they brought the noise, how you, the Florida Panthers fan, let's talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, I was in the arena before they had like really any fans. So I saw how empty it looked. I saw how quiet it was. And I was like, is there really going to be 10,000 people in here? And we had 9,646. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. Before the puck even dropped, you could hear the excitement in the stadium. When they were introducing the players, I knew right away when Barkov was introduced, it was going to absolutely erupt. That's exactly what happened. Every single hit, every single scoring opportunity, every single missed call, the crowd absolutely erupted. I said it on Twitter. There's about 10,000 in here, but it sounds like there's over 20,000. And that's what playoff hockey brings. And I think the Florida Panthers faithful really showed up tonight, and they have to do it again for game two because, as you said, it's a must win because all four of the first Stanley Cup playoff games were one-goal games. The first three went to overtime. Obviously, the Panthers losing with about a minute 14 left from the Braden Point goal. So there was four one-goal games, four like next goal wins it games. The playoffs have been great, and the games with so many fans, it's been even better. Like Vegas had so many fans, we've had so many fans already. You got to show up for game two.
Absolutely, and you, the Florida Panthers fans, you guys brought it and continue to bring that energy for game two. And if the people listening are wondering why my voice is so shot, is because I was at the game for game one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And yeah, it was crazy. The rally towels were going. That awesome video intro right before the teams came out on the ice. I arrived in my seat maybe around like 25 minutes before puck drop, and yeah, the fans were ready, players coming out, you knew they were ready. It was just, and I mean, I didn't really sleep the night before just thinking about last night's game. And but let's get into this one. This game was started off with not too many shots on goal. This was really a lot of back and forth, a lot of one and dones between both teams. This game had really a theme of streaks, where after Blake Coleman scores first, then Panthers score two straight. Lightning score two straight. Panthers score two straight again. Then Lightning finish off with scoring two straight. So this was a game where whoever had the momentum last, the positive momentum last, that they were going to carry away with the win. What were your thoughts out there?
I said, I did an article on Five Reasons Sports before the series. It was five keys to the series. And I think four of my five keys happened in that game. So the crowd atmosphere, that was the biggest key for me. Staying out of the penalty box, that didn't happen. That was a huge key. I said, if you don't stay out of the box, Tampa's going to score. They did that three times. And I said, the teams that get the momentum are going to kind of carry the game. And that did happen. I think for the playoffs, getting your feet wet, getting your big guys going early is really helpful. And oftentimes, I live in Toronto. So when I watch the Leafs playoffs, it's kind of a story where one of the big guys doesn't do that much the entire series and he hasn't really got his feet wet. It's happened a lot. Luckily for both teams, they both got their stars involved in game one. Obviously, Nikita Kucherov, first game back, gets 3 points and two goals. Braden Point gets the game winner. He was electric. Stamkos got a point. But then Hedman got 3 points. Looking at Florida, though, I said Sam Bennett is a proven playoff performer. Obviously, I guess we'll get into it a little bit later. The disallowed goal that should have counted after looking at the replay. But then he bounced back. He got 2 points. Huberto and Barkov, the two long-tenured Panthers, they were great. They had multiple points. It seemed like everyone who needed to get involved got involved. And I think both goalies made some huge saves down the stretch. I think Bob, I mean, I played hockey for years. I'm not going to leave a goalie out to dry when you're going up against the best power play in the NHL. When you have Kucherov, Stamkos, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, you get four power play opportunities, they're going to score. They're one of the best power. I think they ranked number 8 in the NHL in the regular season. And yeah, Bob made so many big saves, game-saving saves. If you think, I love Spencer Knight, but if you think the 20-year-old goalie who's never played a playoff game are going to make some of the saves Bob did, you don't know hockey. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the percentages, 3 out of 4 on the power plays. And of their 5 goals, only one of them was even strength. And that was the Braden Point goal at the very end with about a minute to go. And let's talk about Kucherov a little bit.
Yeah.
You can't hate the Tampa Bay Lightning for using the system in place of LTIR.
If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah. And you got to hate the NHL for putting that system in place, not the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just used it to their advantage, getting Detroit to take a quarter of David Savard's salary in order to get a draft pick so they could still fit their stuff around the pack. The cap. I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights just last week, they couldn't dress their full roster for cap reasons. So, did we anticipate a global pandemic to happen? No. But, you know, you can't hate the team for using the system to their advantage. And I talked about it with the host of the Locked On Lightning show, Adam Danker, how Nikita Kucherov just needs to be positioned correctly because he has a rocket of a one-timer shot. And look what happened. Nikita Kucherov had 2 goals, both on the power play in the second period, one at the 4:28 mark and the other one at the 14:51 mark. Both power plays from the typical place where he scores goals, that right side, the goalie's left. And yeah, that despite not playing all season, he's still a guy to just be accounted for. And that's not, that's something that the Florida Panthers knew. But when you have all those players like firing on all cylinders and a player of Kucherov's stature, man, that makes it so hard to beat.
I think that I noticed right away on when they were playing even strength, Tampa's 5-on-5 setup is extraordinary. When they're entering the zone, if they have any space, they'll, in hockey, they'll do this drill a lot where you enter the zone, and if the defenseman gives you some space, they'll curl back. Basically, almost like a power play setup where you enter the zone, you curl back, you hit the point, and then you get set. I saw Tampa do that multiple times on 5-on-5, which isn't something that a lot of teams are able to do. I don't see the Panthers do it a lot. The Panthers are more of a, if we catch you in transition, we're going to get you team. Tampa is able, and obviously this team's been around a while. Their core has been around a while. They're able to just get the puck moving extremely quickly. And when it came to the power play, you're giving them that much space. I don't know what you can do to kind of to fix that, but we talked about Kucherov like lighting it up. That's the best way to get your guys going, power plays. And this is his first game in since game six of the Stanley Cup Finals. If he didn't have all these power play opportunities, then it could have been a different story. First of all, the Panthers would have won the game.
Yes.
Second of all, Kucherov and, well, let's just talk about Kucherov. He might not have had really any quality opportunities, and then maybe he goes into game two like, oh, maybe I'm in a slump. Not really a slump, but you get the idea. That's not going to happen.
Confidence,
now.
Momentum.
Yeah. I do have to say with the confidence, I think the Panthers have been getting to Vasilevskiy all season. I honestly think they have. They're the only team, really, to put up multiple four-goal games against them. But these are Vezina goalies, so they'll be able to do what they need to do. I think the Panthers had a couple unlucky breaks on that Kucherov goal. Forsling's stick broke right off the draw on that penalty kill, and he was on Kucherov's side, so he couldn't get his stick in the lane, and the puck went 2 inches over Bob's pad. But that's the name of the game. It's hockey. You can't fill it with excuses. You just kind of I can't blame Bob for basically a 5-on-3 goal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame Forsling for his stick breaking, because in the NHL, in hockey, if stick breaks, you have to drop it. You can't play with a broken stick. It's just you play the cards that you're dealt, and you just gotta keep going with that. So Tampa's elite on the power play, and we saw it with their 3 goals.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursement for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursement for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fee, and free withdrawals from a network of over 5,000 ATM. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to win your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. exclusions, and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVP Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Three power play goals, a shorty, and one even strength. Let's talk about the shorthanded goal first. Blake Coleman had a breakaway that was, I believe it was Yandel who didn't get back on that one. And Bob was all alone on that one. And in this game overall, yeah, sure. The stat sheet, people might stat sheet watch and box score watch and see Bobrovsky's number and say, oh, he had such a bad game. But I don't think he had such a bad game as the box score indicated. There was one before, I believe, the Verhage goal or the Barkov goal, where or one of the goals that he made, I said $10 million save. And then just shortly after, the Florida Panthers score. So I don't think Bob had the worst game. How about you?
Like I said earlier, Bob made so many big saves. I think both teams had, one team had 40 shots, one team had 39. So basically both teams had 40 shots. I will never come for a goalie on a penalty, on a shorthanded goal. Unless it's like plain, you need to save it. Like these shots were cross crease, one timers, in the slot, one timers. It's so hard to save that in general. But then when when you're shorthanded and you're just missing bodies and you're moving that much, like there's not much you can do. Then you had the breakaway by Braden Point. Obviously, Braden Point's one of the best players in the NHL. That's a 50-50 thing. And he stopped Kucherov on a breakaway. He stopped Stamkos a bunch of times on that power play. I think there was 5 minutes left, and I saw two huge saves in the slot where I thought the puck was going in.
On point?
And then, yep. And then he came back, twice. Made the third save, and the Panthers cleared the zone. Three game-saving stops by Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you're looking at the box score, it's like, well, he gave up five. Yeah, well, look at those five. There was a shorthanded one. That wasn't the best look by the entire team. You got the penalty kill, the shorthanded ones. Shorthanded by the Lightning for the first one, shorthanded by the Panthers for the next three, and then the game winner. I thought he looked better than Vasilevsky just because it seemed Bob made bigger saves. The Panthers missed bigger opportunities rather than Vasilevsky making bigger saves. Now, Vasilevsky still played great.
Yes.
But when we're looking at which goalie had bigger saves in that game, it was Bob.
Mm-hmm. Especially even strength.
I can say that without a doubt. It was Bob. And I've seen that multiple times against Tampa. Bob's made big, big saves. So I saw people after the second goal saying, Bob shouldn't even be on the bench for the next one. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's honestly ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's making a lot of money. Yeah. He's not a god. He's not going to stop every puck, especially when you give Tampa so many power play opportunities.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And let's talk about the penalties. I'm looking at 18 penalty minutes. There's a lot of 4-on-4s, too. Quite a bit. Quite a few.
I've never seen that many 4-on-4 opportunities in a game, much less a playoff game. I think the refs were just trying to get these guys to stop after the 156 penalty minute game we saw a couple weeks ago. But I don't know. Some of these calls made no sense. I mean, the one where Barkov got tackled, like that's no offense to Rutta, but if Ryan Lomberg took out Nikita Kucherov, the Panthers fans would be happy if it was a 4-on-4 for 2 minutes. So
Yeah, I think Barkov still took exception that Ruda with a hit on Mason Marchment last week, because there was a big hit towards the board last week in their regular season finale. And there was a lot of retaliation in this one as well, especially towards the end where Sam Bennett got a penalty around the 12-minute mark against Blake Coleman that really shifted the momentum. And I was looking at my Panther Parkway group chat, and I didn't see this on Twitter, but I saw this on the group chat that John Cooper was talking about possibly Sam Bennett being suspended for the next
game. I saw that too.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous considering the Palat hit and the who hit Duke last night? McDonough. Were terrible and they were 2-minute minors. So
mm-hmm. Also, towards the middle part of the third period, Barkov was slow to the bench, and that was the hit by Coleman earlier towards the boards near the bench. So maybe that's why there was a little bit of retaliation from there. But yeah, one player that I was talking about with my friend Jacob while we were in our seats was, man, Ryan Lomberg might not be the most talented player, but he is really one who can really get into the heads of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I think that's something we saw in this one, where he's just not afraid to get in their faces, and he's not going to allow anyone to get on his teammates' faces too.
That's why he's in the lineup over Nikita Gusev and Grigory Denisenko and Alexi Heponiemi. I tweeted this before the game. I said, every playoff series has an unsung hero. Sometimes it's a line, most time it's a hero. A guy that's kind of under the radar in the regular season. I said, if he can stay disciplined, and I will say he stayed disciplined this game because all his penalties were 4-on-4. So he's not screwing over his team. Ryan Lomberg is built for playoff hockey. I've watched so many playoff series. Guys like Lomberg get under the other team's skin. Now, Brendan Gallagher, Brad Marchand, these are guys with more skill. These are elite-esque players. Ryan Lomberg is not that. What Ryan Lomberg is he knows how to play his role. He knows he can't score that many goals, even though he had some great scoring chances last game. But that's because he was playing his game. And when he plays his game, it seems like the opportunities just fall into his lap. And I like him with Achari because those guys know how to play hockey. Ryan Lomberg was getting underneath the skin of the Tampa Bay Lightning, specifically Mikhail Sergachev. He was absolutely riling them up. And as we said, it's a nationally broadcast game, Canada and US, around the world. The Canadian fans were loving it. The Richmond Hill guy just outside of Toronto, they were loving Lamborghini.
And you mentioned his partner that he was playing with, Noel Achari. And there was a possibly game-saving save. I don't remember which point in the game that it was necessarily, but Bob was out of his net. He was towards his right. And Noel Achari just ate one right in front of the net. And everyone in the BB&T Center was just clapping for Noel Achari because that was a possibly game-saving save by him.
It was the second period because it was on the far side. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure they were down by one at that point because even I said that's a game-saving save. And if it was a tie game, I wouldn't have said that. But yeah, another shorthanded opportunity. Bob gets dragged out of his net. And the second I saw the puck on the Lightning stick, I was like, Achari's going to stop this. Because he was in the crease and he was lining up like a goaltender ready to eat that puck. And that's exactly what he did. The Cookie Monster eats pucks for a living. And yeah, he's an extremely valuable member of this team.
That looked like it hurt so damn much. Not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, he's definitely hitting the cold tub today on their off day. Panthers aren't practicing today. Definitely hitting the cold tub today.
Yeah, and I'm looking back at my Twitter timeline for when I tweeted it, and that was shortly after the first Kucherov goal. And And yeah, so you also had Jonathan Huberdeau, who had a goal in this one, plus two primary assists. The first one was to Alexander Barkov on the power play, which was a cross ice pass, beautiful setup on the one timer. And then his own breakaway attempt on Vasilevskiy, and that one shifted the momentum during that time. That was coming out of the locker room, and there was that feeling in between periods that, man, they're down. Because going into the third period, when you're down, that's when you make so many adjustments, lines, what you talk to your team about in the locker room, and Florida was just firing on all cylinders early, and both of their goals came within the first 5 minutes of the third period before Tampa scored two straight to close it out. And Jonathan Huberdeau was my unsung hero. Well, not unsung hero. That's the wrong term to say. My dark horse for the Conn Smythe, and he had 3 points yesterday. So great two primary assists and a breakaway goal. Let's talk about Huberdeau's game.
That second assist, the tipped goal, was absolutely unbelievable. Huberdeau pulled the magic trick out of the magician's hat. I don't know how he got that pass off with that angle, but he did. And nice to get Owen Tippett going. When that happened, the Panthers got so much momentum. Brandon Montour had his best game as a Panther, I think. At least, obviously, there was that questionable penalty that led to a goal. Or I don't know if it led to a goal, but it wiped the power play for the Panthers. But he almost scored right after that. He was all over the ice. He was flying. But I don't know. That second assist by Huberdeau when they went up 4-3, it had the stadium rocking. It had the Panthers rocking. And I know we don't want to talk about the penalties too much, but they had all the momentum at that point. They almost made it 5-3 multiple times, but almost isn't enough. And we just got to get back to that concept that you just got to stay disciplined. I don't know how many penalties were like non-roughing, non-interference, non-charging. I know the Sam Bennett one was a charge. It's just there were so many things that went right for the Panthers that it hurts to like just say that one thing that went wrong absolutely ruined the game for them. And next game you just have to be better. It's hockey. You can't hope the refs are going to make every right call, because that's absolutely not going to happen. So you just have to be you get to play your best to not put yourself in a situation where there is going to be a questionable call that could be made, because you can't give Tampa that many opportunities. But yeah, I think Huberdeau is if the Panthers were able to make a run and get to the Stanley Cup final, Huberdeau would be a great choice for the Conn Smythe, just because he puts up points. He puts the team on his back when he has to. So does Barkov. I think these two, they look different. They look a lot different now. I said last season's disappointing run in the play-in round really was going to get them going. It did. And I'm expecting them to do it once again on Tuesday.
Yeah, and game two being a must-win, you have to absolutely win it, because you can't go down 0-2 going into Amalie Arena, a very hostile environment there. And you mentioned Brandon Montour, best game as a Panther. He actually led the team with shots on goal with six. There was actually, he was actually multiple times I saw him in front of the net, and I saw him making shots from the point. And also, this is the time of year where the ice time when it comes to the fourth line, you're just mixing in some fourth liners in the first three lines, putting them there, but with like a fourth line, like kind of there, not really. And also power play as well, where power play one of their four power plays, three power plays, where the, as far as time on ice with power plays, the PP1 was there for literally three-fourths of the time. Power play two, the crew was like there less than a minute. You had Bennett, Huberto, Barkov, Hornquist, and Yandel, the quarterback on the power play. With, and at this point, I feel like every time now that I even see a Yandel shot from the point, it's not even going to deflect in or go in. And
I'll cut in for a second because I know what you want to say. I'll tell you right now. Even though he had 2 points last night,
secondary assist.
It's about time. And I've been saying this for so long, but it honestly, playing against Tampa, and we saw the shorthanded goal, how fast they are on the counter and the transition. And it happened multiple times. And now Yandel actually made one or two plays that kind of helped stop a transition on the penalty kill. But there's just not enough foot speed by Yandel. It's the same way I wouldn't put Radko Gudas on the power play, because there's not enough foot speed by him. I think if you put Weir or if you put Forsling, the efficiency on that power play one would be pretty much identical to Yandel. Because throughout the regular season, it wasn't that great for Yandel, especially after the first couple games where he was hot. I just don't think the foot speed is there for Yandel when you're coming up against a Cirelli or a Yanni Gord, whoever's killing the penalties for the Lightning. They're too quick for him. And it's just kind of putting your team in a bad situation where you only have one defenseman on the power play one. And when you're getting caught in transition, it's normally going to be one against one or even a two against one going the other way against you. And if your defenseman doesn't have the foot speed, it's gonna become ugly. And in a seven-game series, if Yandel's playing power play one, he's not going to gain Jets. He's not going to gain Forsling Jets overnight. Not going to happen.
Not all of a sudden, yeah.
It's not going to happen. But when you got guys that could actually wheel it, especially a Forsling or a Uyghur, they need to be on power play one, especially if you're going to run four forwards. You just have to do something to fix it.
Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. There's coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. Know what my favorite flavor is? Is the peanut butter brownie. If you've tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carb. A couple of other flavors have 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and just 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carb. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 50% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing and you can track all the action at BetOnline. The NBA and the NHL are in their stretch runs right before the postseason begins. Get all the latest news and odds and info on all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news. Sign up for bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON.
You were talking about how we have one defenseman on power play one because everybody is towards the net and you only have one guy back. And yeah, to get that one guy back, yeah, Yandel just does not have the the speed to get back in. So, like, when's it going? But I think about it like this. Coach Q, when it comes to Yandel on PP1, that's something he's gone to all year. Is he all of a sudden just going to make a change just out of the blue when he's gone with something all season? I mean,
well, the thing is, he should have made the change during the regular season.
I agree.
He also shouldn't have played Yandel every game, but I understand wanting to get his Iron Man streak. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but I'm just saying an Iron Man streak doesn't count in the playoff. It doesn't. So I don't expect any lineup changes next game. I really don't. The Panthers put up a lot of goals. I don't expect Gusev to be in the lineup over Lomberg. Marchman played a great game. He was getting really physical. I don't expect any lineup changes, but you never know. I think I honestly don't know why Q was running Yandel the entire year on power play one. A couple times at the end of the season, I saw him switch it up a bit. A couple times. Do I expect it to change now? Probably not. But if this happens again and you're down 0-2 now, the leash just has to be cut at some point. And that goes for everyone, basically. Everyone that's not Hubert or Barkov, the leash will get cut because you play the entire season, you can't play favorites at this point.
Absolutely not. And for sure that if it gets to the point where even the Cats are down 0-2 early in game two, then sometimes Hugh has to press the panic button. But not panic button. That's the wrong term to use. But he needs to press something quick. It's like in Major League Baseball when your starting pitcher gives up 4 runs in the first inning and you're in an elimination game and you have to pull somebody quick. Yeah, I think Hugh has to come out with that kind of sense of urgency in the team as well, because you lost home ice advantage already and need one here for game two. And you definitely, for sure, need to get one at Amalie Arena before coming back for game five. But this yeah. is they set the tone something early about the
can I say something about the home ice advantage for hockey? I know for a lot of sports, when you're playing these best of seven, it's like you need, especially in the NBA, you need to get both at home. In hockey, I don't really think that's the case. Obviously, mm-hmm. you want that, but I've just seen so many series go to seven. I've seen so many guys, teams come back. I think you need to get at least one out of your first two at home, mm-hmm. and then you need to get one of your next two on the road. I don't necessarily think it's a must win. It's like you need to get both at home, especially when you're playing a team as good as Tampa. Now, obviously, you don't want to go down 0-2, but it's a hard place to win in Tampa, but it's also a hard place to win in Sunrise. And right. I think the Panthers have won enough in Tampa this year where they will be, they've been a great road team. They've gone into places where they probably shouldn't have won games and they took games from teams. And I think that's going to happen. That could happen again. Now game two is a different story. You need to win that game. Cause now if you're 0-2 down in Tampa, it's a completely different story. But I don't think we have to hit the panic button yet that we lost the first game, because like so many good teams lost their home opener yesterday and the game before. Vegas lost, Pittsburgh lost, Washington won at home, Florida lost at home. So 3 of the 4 teams lost their home opener. And I don't think any of those series are going to be done 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you there. And the Florida Panthers on the road this year went 17-9-2. So that's pretty damn good for a road team this year. And
a,
I mean,
a lot of that was against Carolina where they just couldn't figure out how to win over there.
Yeah. And so the Florida Panthers, when it comes to their confidence level to go on the road and win, I have full confidence that they can get one. And I mean, let's not forget before in the 2016 season, they lost game one at home against the Islanders. They came back to win game two. They also got one in New York too in that series in, I believe it was game four. I don't remember correctly. But yeah, that series was tied at two with one team getting at least one road win. And yes, you are correct when it comes to home ice advantage in hockey that there's not as much emphasis because sometimes the puck can go bounce a strange way, whether it's home, on the road, and sometimes crowd noise can affect it. Sometimes it doesn't. Those are just theories. So yeah, when it comes to like a low scoring sport, like soccer as well, sometimes the ball in that sport can bounce a different way based on that. And yeah, Florida just needs to find a way. I don't know if we see a goalie change in game two. And I also wanted to bring up this.
I don't
point.
See it.
The Washington Capitals in 2018 lost both games at home.
Yeah.
Obviously, Philip Grubauer was the starter for the first two games for the Cap before bringing back Braden Holtby, and they won four straight, including two on the road in Columbus. I wouldn't be mad if Chris Drieger starts game two, but I wouldn't be mad if Sergei Bobrovsky starts game two as well. And we could wrap it up there on what would you think Hughes' thought process would be if he were to go to Chris Drieger in game two?
Well, first I'll tell you if I think he does it, which I don't think he will, because yeah, they lost. Yeah, he had five goals, but there's bigger issues to kind of get to first.
Like penalties? And
yeah, like I feel like I'm just keep replaying it over and over, but yeah, the penalties. But he could go to Drieger, but Bob was the better of the two goalies last night. He was. And the thing is, the Panthers are lucky that they have two goalies that they could go to. Like I said, I don't think they'd go to Spencer Knight unless they had to. He's 20. Stop saying you put Spencer Knight in, please.
Please.
Thank you. But yeah, you have a guy making $10 million. You got a guy making under $1 million. They've both been extremely solid, but Drieger should have been the guy last year they went to, and they didn't do it at all. There's no chance that I see them going to Drieger, at least for game two. Mm-hmm. If Bob absolutely just has a terrible game two, first of all, he's going to get pulled. That they'd pull him before he got to that point. And then Drieger game three. With this one goal game, I don't see it happening, but I guess we're lucky that we'll be able to have this conversation. Which number one goalie do we go to? Not do we go to our backup. It's which number one goalie do we go to? Because some of these teams, like Washington, they're number one. Well, first of all, Samsonov is out. And then Vitek got hurt, so they have to go to Craig Anderson.
Broward County resident.
Florida Panthers legend over there. But yeah, we're lucky that we have two really good goalies we can go to. And if in the event we had to go to a third goalie, a third goalie is undefeated right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a good problem to have, but yes. The problems that they do need to fix are beyond the goalie as of right now. And, you know, game two is Tuesday night, 8 p.m., BB&T Center. Crowd brought the noise. And you know what? Florida Panthers fans, whoever's listening to this, if you're at the game, we want you to be as loud as you were in game one. Sure, we're down 0-1 against the defending Stanley Cup champions. However, they got home ice for a reason. They got it via that last series where they showed Tampa that they can challenge against them. Of course, Kucherov and Samsonov are back, but it's still an opportunity to make this a series and still make this a long playoff series where if you get this to seven, then anyone could really take the cake and run with it. But Alex, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of the Locked On Panthers podcast to break down this 5-4 loss over against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Wish it came under a win, but hey, there's an opportunity for the Panthers to come back and tie this series at 1 apiece on Tuesday night, 8 p.m. puck drop at the BB&T Center. So for my listeners, if they want to find you on social media and online, where can they find you and your work?
You can find me on Twitter at abaumgartner91. And you can find some of my work across the various Five Reasons Sports platforms, whether that's the website. We have pretty much game day articles. And you can find my show In the Box with Alex and the Fifth Line 5R show on Five Reasons YouTube. Have that pre-game and post-game, at least for game one. A lot of Panthers content over there. So if you want to check it out, you can.
Awesome, man. So thank you so much for joining me. And hopefully next time you join me, it's via a win.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks for having me, Armando.
Thank you.
And thank you once again to Alex Baumgartner, the Fifth Line 5R show of the Five Reasons Sports Network, for joining me to recap this game one 5-4 loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So for the postseason, once again, for Locked On Panthers, I'm going to try to at least bring on a guest host every single day during this playoff run, as long as the Florida Panthers remain in the dance. So if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, so you will get notified anytime an episode drops, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Don't forget Locked On NHL. They'll be covering the whole playoff landscape throughout this postseason run, and also the Crosscheck NHL show. And one last thing, make sure to tune into the Locked On Today podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, how worried should Laker fans be about their road back to the NBA Finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So I'm Armando Velez, signing off. And you've been listening to the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.